21. For Eddie, it was, as some wise man had once said, deja vu all over again. He was running with the wheelchair, racing time. The beach had been replaced by the Street of the Turtle, but somehow everything else was the same. Well, there was one other relevant difference. Now it was a railway station, or a cradle, he was looking for, not a freestanding door. Susanna was sitting bolt upright, with her hair blowing out behind her and Roland's revolver in her right hand, its barrel pointed up at the cloudy, troubled sky. The drums thudded and pounded, bludgeoning them with sound. A gigantic, dish-shaped object lay in the street just ahead, and Eddie's overstrained mind, perhaps cued by the classical buildings on either side of them, produced an image of Jove and Thor playing frisbee. Jove throws one wide, and Thor lets it fall through a cloud. What the hell, it's Miller time on Olympus anyway. Frisbees of the gods, he thought, swerving Susanna between two crumbling, rusty cars. What a concept. He bumped the chair up on the sidewalk to get around the artifact, which looked like some sort of telecommunications dish now that he was really close to it. He was easing the wheelchair over the curb and back into the street again. The sidewalk was too littered with crap to make any real time when the drums suddenly cut out. The echoes rolled away into a new silence. Except it wasn't really silent at all, Eddie realized. Up ahead, the arched entrance to a marble building stood at the intersection of the Street of the Turtle and another avenue. This building had been overgrown by vines and some straggly green stuff that looked like cypress beards, but it was still magnificent and somehow dignified. Beyond it, around the corner, a crowd was babbling excitedly. Don't stop, Susanna snapped. We haven't got time to... A hysterical shriek drilled through the babble. It was accompanied by yells of approval and, incredibly, the sort of applause Eddie had heard in Atlantic City hotel casinos after some lounge act had finished doing its thing. The shriek was choked into a long, dying gargle that sounded like the buzz of a cicada. Eddie felt the hair on the nape of his neck coming to attention. He glanced at the corpses hanging from the nearest speaker pole and understood that the fun-loving pubes of Ludd were holding another public execution. Marvelous, he thought. Now, if they only had Tony Orlando and Dawn to sing Knock three times, they could all die happy. Eddie looked curiously at the stone pile on the corner. This close, the vines which overgrew it had a powerful herbal smell. That smell was eye-wateringly bitter, but he still liked it better than the cinnamon-sweet odor of the mummified corpses. The beards of greenery growing from the vines drooped in ratty sheaves, creating waterfalls of vegetation where once there had been a series of arched entrances. A figure suddenly barreled out through one of these waterfalls and hurried toward them. It was a kid, Eddie realized, and not that many years out of diapers, judging by the size. He was wearing a weird little Lord Fauntleroy outfit, complete with ruffled white shirt and velveteen short pants. There were ribbons in his hair. Eddie felt a sudden mad urge to wave his hands above his head and scream, "But we'd say Ludd is O-tay!" "Come on!" the kid cried in a high, piping voice. Several sprays of the green stuff had gotten caught in his hair. He brushed absently at these with his left hand as he ran. "They're gonna do spankers. It's the spanker man's turn to go to the land of the drums. Come on, or you'll miss the whole fakement, gods cuss it." Susanna was equally stunned by the child's appearance, but as he got closer, it struck her that there was something extremely odd and awkward about the way he was brushing at the crumbles and strands of greenery which had gotten caught in his beribboned hair. He kept using just that one hand. His other had been behind his back when he ran out through the weedy waterfall, and there it remained. How awkward that must be, she thought. And then a tape player turned on in her mind, and she heard Roland speaking at the end of the bridge. "I knew something like this could happen. If we'd seen the fellow earlier, while we were still beyond the range of his exploding egg, damn the luck." She leveled Roland's gun at the child, who had leaped from the curb and was running straight for them. "Hold it!" she screamed. "Stand still, you!" "Suze, what are you doing?" Eddie yelled. Susanna ignored him. In a very real sense, Susanna Dean was no longer even here. It was Detta Walker in the chair now, and her eyes were glittering with feverish suspicion. "Stop or I'll shoot!" Little Lord Fauntleroy might have been deaf for all the effect her warning had. "House it!" he shouted jubilantly. "You're going to miss the whole show! Spanker's going to..." His right hand finally began to come out from behind his back. As it did, Eddie realized they weren't looking at a kid, but at a misshapen dwarf whose childhood was many years past. The expression Eddie had at first taken for childish glee was actually a chilly mixture of hate and rage. The dwarf's cheeks and brow were covered with the oozing, discolored patches Roland called horse blossoms.